Thank you is a theological statement. That was the opening sentence of the editor's introduction to the current issue of Anglican Theological Review, which is devoted entirely to the subject of gratitude. Several notable authors offer their take on gratefulness as it relates to the Christian journey, especially amidst the current crises brought on by pandemic and climate change and all the social and political upheavals sweeping our world these days. The journal was a timely read for me this past week, given the cumulative burden of news that too often angles toward the negative. Sensationalism sells, right? And neurobiologists have mapped the brain pathways that incline toward the negative preferentially. It's probably an evolutionary design to be hyper aware of threats, which for us come as negative news. And they stick like Velcro onto those neural pathways of negativity much more readily than positive news does. So what are we to do with all of that? Well, thank you as a theological statement is a good place to start, because those two words serve as public and personal acknowledgement of positive gift that changes us and the world by an infusion of goodness that comes in the gift. And friends, even in these hard times, there is goodness abounding. As people of faith, we know and trust that goodness is derived from a divine giver in whose image we are made. All that we have and all that we are come from that source of goodness, from that ground of being. Holding that point of reference is not a panacea, but neither is it Pollyannish. It is a way of being in this world, this broken world. And we can all lay claim to the experiences of good and positive in these difficult months gone by. But there is a nuance to be had here. A lot of popular psychology has jumped on the gratitude bandwagon in recent years, claiming that practicing gratitude can have positive psychological and even physical benefits. I believe that with all my heart. I know that science is sound, but there is a risk in this therapeutic angle on gratitude if it becomes simply transactional, a quid pro quo, a form of self-medicating so that you can persist in the negativity or focus of it. Practice gratitude so I can keep wallowing in my negativity. There is no transformation to be had there. And gratitude will lose its effectiveness over time. Like a pill taken to counter a toxin, over time it loses its potency due to a tolerance that builds up. But framing gratitude as a theological enterprise, well, that's a whole nother thing altogether. Gratitude is a virtue. A virtue is a habit that, when practiced time and again, inclines us toward the good that it calls us into, but it's always with an intended purpose that points beyond the habit itself. And for us, that purpose is to find fulfillment in God. That is the key to human flourishing. It's what we were created for. When Jesus in today's gospel says one must lose their life in order to save it, we often take him to mean literally lose one's life, follow him even unto death. And for some, it means exactly that. But few of us here this morning will ever really have to run the risk of dying for our faith. And yet the words still come to prick our ears. and to break open our hearts as we yearn to understand how to live in difficult times, how to live well in difficult times, how to live fully in difficult times, how to find fulfillment in God as the key to human flourishing. So I will say again to you, thank you is a theological statement. Our old friend Walter Brueggemann says that gratitude is the very heart of Christianity, precisely because in practicing gratitude as a way of being, we come to understand that everything is gift. Everything is gift. Brueggemann says, gratitude is the antidote to pride. Pride tempts us to believe that self-sufficiency and autonomy are the chief attributes of the good life, when in fact, pandemic and really all of life teaches us that we have precious little control and we are nothing if not connected to the whole. Gratitude opens us to the truth that life is not achievement, but gift. Lose one's life in order to save it. Gratitude is also the antidote to despair. Despair comes when we realize our pride has tricked us, that control is not the end game. And we come face to face with the painful truth that we cannot make our world completely safe, free of suffering, or altogether happy for ourselves. We cannot will it so for our children either. My friends, we call this Homecoming Sunday a grand tradition in the life of this place. Yes, because on one level, it's an occasion to return to church after summer breaks and after pandemic breaks as we resume ministries and program offerings. And let me say, it is great to see your faces, or at least the upper half of them. But there's a deeper purpose in this Homecoming Sunday. We come home and gather with a keen sense today that generations have gone before in this place. And we take our place here today, trusting that generations to come will call this home as well. The world still hurts this morning. We still hurt this morning. But there is much goodness afoot too. And this day is reminding us to celebrate that, to lay claim to it, and hold fast to it. You know, a good deal has been written in recent years about the epigenetics of trauma and how a person's experience of pain and stress cause definable changes in their DNA, which is then passed down to future generations. The experience of trauma becomes embedded in the genetic code of their progeny. I doubt that is news to you. But what may not be known is that there's another frontier of science that is looking at the epigenetics of gratitude as well. And the early science is promising. There appears to be a pattern of methylation on the DNA strands that is measurably changed in persons who practice gratitude as a way of life. The Native American communities call it blood memory, a way of life handed down intergenerationally. In this issue of Anglican Theological Review, a friend of mine, Hillary Raining, who's a priest from Pennsylvania and also a member of the Ojibwa tribe of the Chippewa, she says the Ojibwan word for thank you, migwek, involves simply more than simple gratitude. It intends utter wholeness, completeness, even union with all. The word thank you, migwek, It's interesting. It was not used regularly in Ojibwan discourse until the tribe interacted with European settlers, because prior to that, everything was understood to be a gift from the Spirit. And to live fully, one simply lived with that as the frame of reference and could give freely and receive freely, because nothing was owned. Gratitude was a way of being. A pervading sensibility as natural as breathing the air around you. We didn't need words to make sense of it. It just was. Man, I want that in my life. We need rituals that help us rediscover the truth of that abundant, holistic living. And this Eucharist that we celebrate here, friends, is one such ritual. It's central to our tradition. It's a way of gathering and sharing and receiving from the abundance of our lives and from one another and from the fecund grace of God who calls us together. Eucharist literally means thanksgiving. It's a way of laying down blood memory of gratitude, so that our spiritual DNA is changed forever. Homecoming reminds us that doing this matters. Doing it together matters. So what I would say to you this morning is then welcome home. Welcome home. Look around you. Greet one another with grateful hearts. Share your thank yous as your theological work this day. Note who is not here. Give that one a call or write them a handwritten note. Share your thank yous with them too. Practice gratitude. Lay down your blood memory and trust that as you do, the DNA of this entire family, this community, will be changed for generations to come. So yeah, thank you is a theological statement because it tethers us to God, the giver of everything. Amen.